The obvious bad when it comes with excessive temptation becomes a health danger. That's certainly one way to describe smoking, yet with all the proven risks to a person's health associated with it, there are still people who continue to smoke, and they're joined by youths who start smoking. The only proven way to save these people from a variety of illnesses led by cancer and eventual premature death is through programs based in education and policies that promote better health habits. My first guest today joins us to review an annual report regarding how states like New Jersey are indeed addressing this issue. The report is How Do You Measure Up? A progress report on state legislative activity to reduce cancer incidence and mortality. He is the government relations director with the New Jersey branch of the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network, Brian Schott. Thanks for being here today, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And you can check out this report both on a state-by-state level of New Jersey, if you're listening on the stream, all the other states, as well as download a full copy to study and maybe even share it with the elected officials and health community organizations in your neck of the woods, too, at acscan.org. So what is the report, How Do You Measure Up, designed to demonstrate? What is its mission and purpose?
Sure. So this is the 15th year that this report has been developed, and it's an annual snapshot of key state policies. And it really tries to measure how states are doing in enacting laws and policies that would save lives and boost local economies as far as prevention, management, and treatment of cancer. And so the report measures states in a variety of issues, including tobacco-related issues, prevention issues, and access to care. You know, in New Jersey, we're seeing that it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, there are obviously areas where we're doing quite well and we're leading the way, and there are also areas where we hope to see improvement going forward.
And the categories, and this is why I want, hopefully you'll download the PDF, because the stats and the text are indeed educational. When you see some of the maps that are color-coded based on the grading of each state, it's shocking, the disparity and the rate of, well, let's say lack of participation, I'll be kind, not say failure, by some states to adhere to what is more right and just to be doing. But categories are cigarette tax rates, smoke-free laws, tobacco prevention cessation program funding, Medicaid coverage of tobacco cessation services, indoor tanning device use restrictions, we'll get to that in a moment, increased access to Medicaid, pain policy, breast and cervical cancer early detection program funding, and access to palliative care. Of those categories, Brian, there has been a change since the report was compiled for New Jersey with the tobacco prevention and cessation program funding, which, you know, granted there's nowhere to go but up, but a small step is still a good step.
Sure. So, you know, going back to what I was saying a moment ago, where there are areas where we're kind of leading the way and we're doing very well, and there are also areas where, you know, New Jersey can obviously see some improvement, that bears out even within just the realm of tobacco issues. So, you know, we talk about the three-legged stool of you know, decreasing the burden of tobacco, and that includes making sure that we have regular significant increases in a tobacco tax, a very robust and comprehensive smoke-free law that covers all workplaces, and also making sure that we're providing adequate funding for tobacco prevention and cessation programs. And so in New Jersey, and if you look at the report, you'll see that, you know, we measure in green that we're hitting the benchmark on two of those issues, one being that we have a very strong cigarette tax rate that can be a deterrent. We also have a very comprehensive and robust smoke-free law in this state. And so those are areas where we're doing very well. Where we're lagging behind is still on this issue of tobacco prevention and cessation program funding. So, you know, this is critical for making sure that, you know, people who smoke have the resources that they need in order to quit, and that we're making sure that other people never start. Now, the legislature just included in the budget that was recently passed $500,000 appropriation for smoking prevention and cessation. And obviously, as you said, it's good because it's better than zero, and obviously we're trending in the right direction, and it's a good first step. But the CDC does recommend that New Jersey invest $103.3 million in smoking prevention and cessation. So obviously we've still got quite a ways to go before we come into alignment with that figure. I'm glad to report that there was a bill that was passed by the legislature about a month ago at this point that would dedicate 1% of tobacco tax revenues in New Jersey to a comprehensive tobacco control program, and that passed both houses of the legislature unanimously. It was conditionally vetoed by the governor, and the conditional veto was to delay the date of implementation until July 1st of next year so that it could be accounted for as part of the the fiscal year 2019 budget. And so the Assembly has already concurred with that conditional veto, and we hope that the Senate will as well, so that that can be included as part of the fiscal year 19 budget. And 1% of those tobacco tax revenues would result in an investment of about $7 million. So we're moving in the right direction, hopefully. This is a good first step. And, you know, with regards to the map, that would bring us out of that black category that we're in right now, because we're investing less than the 1% of the CDC's recommendation.
And, again, looking at the map, there's very few states which are performing stellar in this category. North Dakota, Alaska, California, Oklahoma are in the green category. New Jersey currently had been in the black category, of Connecticut, Missouri, New Hampshire, and Guam. The majority of the states are in the red zone, which are they range between as low as 1.1% to just under 25% of the CDC recommendation for funding for smoking cessation programs, just to give you a barometer of, you know, where New Jersey is headed. Again, right direction, baby step, could be more, should be more, will it be more? I guess we'll find out with the next governor and the next state assembly and state senate. With cigarette taxes, where New Jersey does get a green, Brian, is it a increasing concern that, yeah, that's specifically cigarette tax, but I've been reading where there are proponents of the smokeless tobacco and e-cigarettes who are urging the overseers of taxation to lighten up on those?
Yeah, well, we believe that by significantly increasing taxes on cigarettes, cigars, little cigars, smokeless tobacco, and all tobacco products, and inclusive of e-cigarettes, states can save lives, reduce healthcare costs, and really generate much-needed revenue to help fund tobacco control programs and unmet healthcare needs.
Talking with Brian Schott from the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network, and on the web, and we're talking about their annual report, which is entitled How Do You Measure Up? A Progress Report on State Legislative Activity to Reduce Cancer Incidence and Mortality. You can download and read at acscan.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Another one of the categories of concern is the, and this is the one that might people might not expect, indoor tanning device use restrictions. And, of course, it's been a couple of years, but you might remember, I forget, Tan Mom, I think she was called, for example, or Other people had less than kind names for her, but there are people who get addicted to the tanning beds, and youths in particular, because especially this time of year, it's all the status of how you look, and people are blind to the inherent dangers of using these devices.
Yeah, so exposure to UV radiation through sunlight and indoor tanning devices is one of the most avoidable risk factors for skin cancer. And so ACS CAN advocates for an age of 18 for the use of indoor tanning devices. The most recent data indicates that nearly 1 in 9 high school girls used a tanning device nationally, with numbers increasing to 1 in 6 high school girls by their senior year. So, you know, the longer that we can put off use of these devices, it's really important as far as making sure that we're preventing the exposure to those dangers. And people who use indoor tanning devices before the age of 35 in particular increase their risk of melanoma by 59%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, and you think it's just, you know, it's a commercial viable product, so you automatically assume this, all the safety factors are already installed there, so you have no concerns or worries.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the World Health Organization does categorize tanning devices into its highest cancer risk category, carcinogenic to humans, the same category as cigarettes. So clearly there's a danger there, and it's something that we work here at ACS CAN to try to mitigate through policy.
Another one of the red categories for New Jersey is Medicaid coverage of tobacco cessation treatments, which might be confusing to people because New Jersey has been one of the states which took on the Obamacare expansion of Medicaid.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, we commend New Jersey for having taken, expanded its Medicaid program and providing coverage to over 500,000 people who didn't previously have it through Medicaid. But in order to achieve even a mid-level grade in this report, all Medicaid plans must provide at least one form of treatment and one form of counseling to enrollees. Unfortunately, New Jersey currently provides only partial coverage for medications used for tobacco cessation and doesn't cover any form of counseling specific for tobacco cessation. So this is something that we look forward to continuing to look at in the future, and we hope we can address.
So New Jersey would cover you for getting the patch or the gum, but if, and that doesn't work for everybody, so if that doesn't work, you're left on your own then.
That's correct. Well, that's correct. Some of the medications are covered, but not any form of counseling.
Looking at the access to palliative care, explain that's one of those categories. New Jersey's in the yellow again. Going in the right direction, still work to do. Palliative care, define that and how it becomes involved in the overall aspect of what your organization looks for.
Sure. Palliative care basically treats the whole person rather than just the disease. And that's done in a way by coordinating care to address both physical and emotional needs such as pain, anxiety, and stress through diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship. And so ACS-CAN continues to advocate for improving cancer patients' quality of life through the creation of a palliative care and quality of life advisory council, which would identify barriers to the availability of coordinated supportive care during treatment from the beginning of diagnosis. So here in New Jersey, there is a bill that's been introduced in the legislature that would require providers to provide information on palliative care and also create this advisory council, which would identify those barriers. That's something that we look forward to continuing to work with our sponsors in the legislature, and hopefully we can advance that in the coming legislative session.
And when you look at the statistics, by most estimates, New Jersey, in this coming year, there'll be almost 52,000 people diagnosed with some form of cancer. So what is the hope of your organization with what this report offers as far as information is concerned? What do you hope it's going to be a catalyst for moving forward now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you look at the report, you see some of the areas where we're still struggling and where we're still kind of lagging behind. And I think that those are things that we look forward to pursuing in the future. Like you mentioned, almost 52,000 new cancer cases will be diagnosed in our state this year, and nearly 16,000 people are going to die from cancer in New Jersey this year. So, you know, there are issues where we hope that this will spur further action, and there are also issues that I do want to highlight that, you know, we've been moving forward in the right direction, and one is, you know, recently that the state, you know, the governor signed into law a bill that, you know, Senator Cody and Assemblywoman Venere Huddle have been critical in championing for several years, that increases the tobacco sale and purchase age from 19 to 21. This is something that we know is going to be, you know, very beneficial for making sure that we continue to drive down smoking rates in the state. We do know that roughly 95% of adults who smoke started smoking before the age of 21, and that the longer that you push off you know, that first cigarette, the better the chances that people are never going to start. And so that's something where we've seen success in the state in recent weeks and months. And also, I should highlight that, and this is also mentioned in the report, is that the New Jersey Commission for Cancer Research, which has traditionally been funded at a level of $1 million in the state budget, we were able to get an appropriation in the state budget this year with the support of Senator Stack and Assemblyman Greenwald for $2 million. So we have doubled the appropriation for cancer research in the state, which is going to go a long way toward making sure that we're developing treatments.
And like Brian mentioned, the smoking age going up 2 years, that's two more years that education can prevent anyone under the age of 21 from starting to smoke. And when you look at another statistic, that 143,000 kids alive in New Jersey today, if nothing is done, will die prematurely eventually from smoking unless more action is taken. And it might seem insignificant to you doing the math, though, what difference is 2 years of starting the inevitable going to make as far as the difference is concerned, but that 2 years is filled with programs, education, and prevention, then that number of 143,000 could indeed drop to a much more manageable number. And again, progress is the way to save lives, and the progress is only done through the education, such as what's provided in the report, How Do You Measure Up? A Progress Report on State Legislative Activity to Reduce Cancer Incidence and Mortality. You can find it at ACSCAN.org. That's the website for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network. Also find information and education and a way to become a little more informed as far as how basically easy it is to help someone stop smoking if they are addicted and to keep them from smoking if it's a youth in your home, especially now as they're going off to college. And, well, your parental influence might not be the daily activity that you normally have, but if you send them off with the education, the information that they need, again, that premature death number does indeed trend down, and that's certainly a goal among the many at the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network has. We've been joined by their Government Relations Director, Brian Schaub. Brian, thanks for helping us understand the significance of the info in this report, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. I just want to mention one more time, in addition to the report that you can find on the website, we do have a tremendous network of volunteers who work with us here in the state and help to advocate for cancer patients and survivors in our state with lawmakers and with the state government. So, all of that information on how to get involved with ACS CAN is available on the website.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.